Hey everybody, how's it going? So this week we've got a talk we had with Tiffany Payton for you. Tiffany does a lot of stuff around town. She does a lot of freelance, you know, video, photo, costume design, voiceover work, whatever. Right now, specifically, she's got a budget burlesque series kicking up. That's going to be a blended comedy and burlesque show, and those should be going every couple weeks for a little while. You can check that out on Facebook. Also, kind of significant, Cards Against the ICT. If you know what I say when I say Cards Against Humanity, then you know what this is. You can just plug Cards Against the ICT into Google and you'll find the Facebook page. I believe she's running up a Kickstarter and everything. She just got her first set of proof cards and they're printing them off. And, you know, I don't know. I look forward to getting myself a set. Anyway, we talked to her about a lot of different stuff. Thanks, Tim, for getting us hooked up together and everything. Yeah, y'all enjoy. Like October 8th, and we're down here at the Labor Party, thanks Kenton, with Tiffany Payton, who Tim has brought in.
Yeah.
Now he's finally here. He was very late, like a jerk. But, so Tiffany, you, well first let's go ahead and quickly make sure we plug the budget burlesque shows that are getting ready to crop up. What's that? Do we have a date for only the first one right now?
Yeah, we do. It's November 12th, I think. It's a Thursday. I might actually have to check that because I forget.
Okay, sure. But you have recently started doing some stand-up and stuff, but you've been doing the burlesque stuff and like putting together these shows and stuff for, I don't know, how many?
Five now.
5 years?
Yep.
Okay, right on.
So I wish that, sorry, there was no unit. Like, you just said five, and you just said kind of something, and I wish it would have just been like, yeah, about 5 weeks.
Like, yeah, 5 days
pretty,
now.
Pretty
five
deep
days.
Into this. Just five.
I'm real serious.
Yeah, you started burlesque in Wichita. I'm sure there's been various chapters or whatever, but when you came on to the whole thing, it wasn't happening, right?
No, there was one gentleman named Dr. Dillinger who'd bring traveling groups into town, but there was nothing that was actually here.
That sounds like it was on like a wagon. Like, yes, Dr. Dillinger brings burlesque to town occasionally.
Well, and it was at Cowtown, so
oh, wow.
That leads even more credence to the whole, like, shove them on a wagon and ship them to Kansas.
Wow. So you started that as well as, aside from Dr. Dillinger, apparently. Is he a doctor?
No.
Okay.
He just plays one.
Isn't
on stage.
It's weird when people do that. I mean, like, call themselves, like, you can call me doctor. Like, I'd rather not, but okay. Anyway, is he a nice guy? I've never met him.
Wait, so
he's a swell character. I book him for several of my shows.
Cool.
I was talking about the doctor thing, sorry. You want to call Dr. Dre Dr. Dre if you saw him?
Yeah, but he's respectable.
Oh, and Dr. Dillinger isn't.
Never heard of him.
Okay.
There's already a very famous Dillinger. I don't think, like, I wouldn't just go around, I wouldn't be like, call me, I can't think of any other titles immediately.
Professor.
Yeah, call me Professor Dre. Like, that wouldn't make any sense, right? Like, you know, there's already a John Dillinger. Anyway, so you also started the roller derby.
I did, yeah, back in 2006.
And that's still going, that's still a big,
yeah.
I see pictures all the time, people are... Looks violent.
Yeah. If you started the roller derby, how many broken bones are you responsible for? Do you
I
count
actually
on that?
Retained zero, but as a whole, I really don't talk to the league much anymore. I can't play, so I kind of just
you got
walked out.
Banned for being too rough?
No, yeah, absolutely not. I'm way better at taking my clothes off than I am playing a contact sport, it turns out.
Okay. Fair.
Okay. That's a good way. Well, what is that? Why can't you play? Just is there something medical or?
I had a head injury some years back, and when I started the roller derby, it wasn't bothering me, but about 24, it became an issue where I just felt like I was completely wasted all of the time, like dizzy, falling up and downstairs. And add wheels to that, it wasn't a very good mix. So I kind of stopped and did promotional stuff, graphics design, photography for them, and then just kind of gave up because it wasn't very fun watching something I created and not being able to actually do it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's weird how sometimes, like, exercise is very important and it's always stressed in as a large pillar of people's lives. Like, if you want to be healthy, you need to exercise. But then it's always forgotten that, well, you're going to have to give up the structural stability of your knees or any of your weaker joints or sometimes your brain. Like,
oh yeah, definitely.
Like, yeah, you're going to love it. Like, it's going to make you feel great, but yeah, you might get clocked a few times.
Yeah, I didn't lose my teeth, so I feel as though my yoga career was successful regardless.
Did you knock out any?
I really sucked.
Oh.
To be quite honestly, I was just really terrible. And then when I formed the league, there wasn't any derby going on in Kansas whatsoever. So there weren't, like, people you could ask, hey, how do I do this? Hey, what kind of drills do I need to do to train?
Right.
What do I need to get used to doing? So it really was, like, taking a bunch of dudes that would help us out. Like, did you do any wrestling in high school? Did you do any football? Like, maybe let's get a blocking dummy and just slam into that repeatedly for a couple hours. Maybe that would be good. So
where did the whole roller derby thing, like, come? You were just one day like, I want to do this. Like, did you go to, like, another state or another town?
No, I had a friend, and back then she lived in Topeka, named Amy Turner, who was like, hey, I really want to start roller derby when I get back to Wichita. Hey, do you want to do this? And I was like, man, yeah, that would be great. So I got together everybody, talked to skating rinks. And at the time, like, Roller City down on, what is it? Is it Seneca? Like 31st and, I think it's 31st and Seneca or something.
I can't recall. I'm
pretty sure it's on Seneca. They were the only ones that wanted to touch it. Like Carousel, that was not family friendly enough for
right,
them to
right.
want to host.
Yeah.
So we kind of got a rink and went from there and had a meeting and was like, who wants to do this? I don't know what we're going to do, except we're going to skate and we're probably going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Was it ever considered that it would be done in an empty parking lot? I think that would be like a fight club kind of, like,
yeah.
In the dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, during the summer months. And then,
yeah.
Like, when we were all still learning to skate and skating, like, little baby giraffes on wheels, we'd go down to the Exploration Place area and skate and try not to injure ourselves or hurt passing children.
Mm-hmm.
Like, good times.
Are there ever any women who show up? It seems like in every physical activity there's a soccer mom group. Are there women who just show up like, I just kind of wanted to roller skate. I didn't know I was going to get... Is there any... Or does everyone who gets into that know what they're going...
No, there are women that definitely... And same with burlesque, which is weird. Like, they want to get into it, but they don't actually know what they're getting into.
Right.
So then there's always the surprise of like, oh, okay, we're going to body check each other now.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah. It's like, well, you can cheer or whatever. You can
yeah.
sit down and... Yeah, what is the protocol there? What happens if, whatever, so you when you see someone and they hit the limit, you see them hit that barrier and they don't make it over the hurdle. Like it's always awkward when you see somebody fall down. Like, you should be good at walking by now. Why did you just trip and fall? Well, I guess I'll try to help you through this. I'll help you up, and then maybe just watch out for your shoelaces next time. Well, what do you do here when you see someone who's not ready to get body checked? You're just like, okay, well, you know.
How about you ref?
Yeah.
You want to take some tickets?
That's the...
Yeah.
You want to do merch?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. What about burlesque? What is your... It seemed like you took a break for a little while.
Well, I mean, I really wanted to do it, and so I went and I did it, but I never really wanted to teach a whole group because with burlesque, not so much with roller derby anymore because they're associated with the Women's Flat Track Derby Association, which is like the... NBA of roller derby, so it's like an actual sport. But with burlesque in the early days of roller derby, you'd get a lot of women that came in that were purely hobbyists, really didn't take it seriously. And after 5 years of training a bunch of people who would just kind of come in and then disappear, I was tired of it. I mean, mm-hmm. in any situation, like, all it takes is a couple of bad eggs to ruin the fun for everybody. And after the first year, I was pretty much done leading it and wanting somebody to take it over. But I never found anybody that I really trusted with the thing that I'd spent so long building.
Yeah.
So I finally was just like, okay, and I'm going to quit and just book shows with who I want to work with so I don't get my tires slashed by somebody crazy who didn't make it into a show, who then retaliates, and yes, that happened.
Oh, man. Jeez.
So now I just book whatever I want, which is why the budget burlesque thing is going to happen pretty soon, and the shows at Abode have occurred recently.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
So that's the specific situation. You didn't put somebody on, and they got upset. It seems like, I don't know, I've said specific things about burlesque, and the demographic that seems to happen, it's generally, you know, I'm not even going to follow through on the sentence, but it seems like it drifts toward a certain populace, or whatever. And are there a lot of, whatever, insecure women, and you have to deal with, and those come with either egos or complete lack of confidence? Or
there has been. I think for the most part, they've mostly been women that were fairly secure with themselves but wanted to kind of embrace their own body image.
Yeah.
Or it's almost a form of therapy. Like, I had some messed up stuff happen in my childhood, and this is kind of how I took back my own sexuality for me. And, okay, people objectify me. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to force them to do that on my own terms. So I think there are a lot of women that are, like, bored housewives we've had, people that already kind of, you know, have corsets and did the pinup thing and posed for photos we've had. But we've honestly had all types. Like, for a while, and unfortunately she's passed away now, we had an old Miss Exotic World. So when she came to us, she was like, I think, 72.
Wow.
But she'd been an exotic dancer, like a real stripper. So, I mean, it takes all types. And the great thing about burlesque is you don't have to be a certain size or shape to do it. And it's funny, in Wichita, where I'll put somebody larger out there, and people will be like, what? Why did you do that? But you go to any other major city, and you see all kinds of people. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, all kinds of people. Dudes, which my boyfriend may, if I can really convince him to do it, get up there and do a little boy-lesque as well. Which Wichita really hasn't had.
Boy-lesque. Okay.
Boy-lesque. Hey.
So, kind of on the flip side of, like, maybe performers showing up and not realizing how over their head they're going to be, did you ever deal with, like, people coming to be audience members and then just, and, you know, like, oh dear, oh, I didn't know it was going to be the, oh no, Larry, we've got
to
go.
I'm in the front row,
you know,
I make it all the way to the back.
Yeah.
Everyone will.
Well, honestly, yeah.
Or people like, I don't know what burlesque is, but if it's $8 and they've got drink specials, it must be pretty fun.
Sounds wholesome.
Yeah.
Ironically, the most expensive show, as far as ticket sales, was a show at the Cotillion the first year. And it was about a 3.5 hour show, and the tickets were $25. So it wasn't just like, oh, I'm going to pop in, pay $5
sure, right.
and check it out. But we had some older people who got there early, got front row seats, and then looked horrified when the first pair of tickets came out and tried to leave. And luckily, I was up the front trying to
tried.
Well, yeah.
Like, no,
stop.
You're in a club now.
Pretty much. I'm like, hey, how about you go back to your seat? See a couple more acts, then decide if you want to leave.
Let the culture flow through you.
And at the end of it, they ended up buying a bunch of t-shirts and calendars.
Oh,
so
wow.
Calendars. Hell yeah.
Calendars.
You guys make calendars. That's
we did, yeah.
That's a merch that stand-up probably hasn't tapped into.
I don't know how you make
microphones.
Yeah, it's a bad idea.
It's a bad
That's
idea, because you're going to end up with like 40 calendars with yourself on them.
Well,
it'll become Christmas presents for everybody, because you've only got like 2 months to sell those calendars.
Well, I just wanted to riff on a joke, but yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a bad
idea. Yeah, it wasn't a good joke either, so...
Well, you're not a good comedian, so I don't know how you would tell me that.
We could
but.
Do the boy... do, like, boy pinup
yeah.
of all of the comedy guys here in Wichita. like a boy pin-up calendar?
His reaction is
no.
When you said he would be boy lesking, he gave no reaction. He was just almost a sense of like a little pride, like I saw his shoulders pop up a little bit. But then you said that like boy pin-up, and he's like,
I think he's just imagining the male comedians that we have.
Oh, okay.
In particular poses.
I'd love to see Daniel P. Rorty do a little pin-up.
Yeah.
Like, missed him with baby oil, so he was all nice and sheeny.
Dan the Man would be really into it. Chris
Maslin doing some
his hummus stuff.
Hummus.
Yeah.
Have you seen this video?
No, I have not.
You know Chris Maslin?
I do.
Yeah, he got back on Facebook after I don't know how long his hiatus was. And like his first week. Yeah, his first week back, like he just goes crazy on it. It's chaos on his Facebook. It's weird.
So he's slathering himself.
But yes, that was his, and he said it like and
he's
he,
like
he
in the mirror.
Romance, first his lead up was doing his romance videos. He gets off work. They have a bunch of leftover hummus that people didn't whatever, and he takes it in like three separate containers. And he's at home like laying on the floor with him, like, his arms wrapped around them. And he's talking to them, like, just dirty talking, like, oh, yeah, you know, yada, yada. It's just fill in the, use your imagination. And then he does that, you know, setting the scene for the romance with the hummus. And then he does another one, like, I'm gonna post it. Then he does a second one, saying specifically what he's going to do. And you kind of think, man, I love this stuff. I'm going to rub it all over my body. And you think he's joking.
And then an hour later.
And then it just happens. And it's so enthusiastic in the bathroom mirror.
It's the bathroom mirror, not even selfie cam, just like point it with the cell phone in frame, just all over his nips and stuff. And he's like, this is for the kids in Africa. I don't know, it's really absurd.
Can we set up an act? Can we get Chris in like into a burlesque? Like, can he have tassels on his nipples and everything? Just like flaying hummus around the.
We certainly can. It's called sploshing, and actually, it is.
It's a real thing, dude. Those videos can make lots of money, actually.
Yeah.
Chris, we'll buy you a gallon of hummus. Meet us here in an hour.
Come back, Chris. Come back,
Chris. Come back.
He's in a hole.
We
right want to
see you splosh, Chris.
Splosh
it good.
Splosh.
Sounds like it should happen in a cave, like sploshing while spelunking.
So before roller derby and burlesque, like, what did you? What are you laughing at me? Say,
he's like, let's transition out.
Well, yeah. But before any of that, what were you into, like?
Before. It's hard to imagine a time before I had super expensive hobbies that took up all my time. For the most part, back then, it was just a lot of women's rights crusading.
I was going to ask whether, because you seem, when I talk to you, you don't like flaunt a certain amount, like you're not like, it's not all about, you know, you have a conversation with you, and it's not like you bring up every half an hour.
Like, I'm not a Nazi feminist.
Right, exactly. You don't bring it, so I was wondering whether it's just like, I just felt like doing it, or whether there was a certain amount of empowerment behind it.
Well, Betty Winnebang, which was my roller derby name and is my burlesque name, actually was born of going out to Tiller's clinic when Tiller was still alive and ushering in, like, the third termers. People didn't want to have abortions. Like, either the kid was going to be dead or the kid was going to be super messed up or the mom was going to die. And those crazy people that go out there and picket that stuff, like, they'll write down your license plate number. So I had a license plate I would swap mine out with when I drove my car there.
Wow.
And, of course, you don't want them to know your real name. So Betty Wannabang was something that I thought was offensive enough to use. Like, I had another friend who was Annie Sprinkles. When my friend Doug was Dig Dug Deeper, and we called ourselves the Maggot Punks. And we basically would do the same thing the antis did, which were like posting our driver's license numbers or license plate numbers. We had a website called themaggotpunks.com. I even had like an applet I built. And I guess I did build a lot of websites back then, too.
Cool.
But, like, a dress-up doll of the worst antis that would come out there, the craziest people. So you could put them in tutus or, you know, Nazi regalia, whatever you wanted. But that's pretty much what I did, is a lot of protesting.
That's awesome.
Blake.
Yes.
Pass to you.
Okay. No, that's okay. Okay, so the maggot pond punks. So you guys would like, you were basically like just revenge cyber harassing the like the haters out there.
It seems like it has too much negative. Something is it? Is there a more positive image like cyber? That's too close to cyberbullying.
I mean, that's what it is when you take pictures of people and put them on the internet in Nazi regalia.
Yeah,
I'm not saying they don't deserve it. I'm just saying it is bullying. Right. But
it really was childish. It was fun though.
Yeah,
I mean they would do the same thing to us.
That's they're being shittier at the beginning.
Give it back. I got to meet Fred Phelps Jr. and he, after about 45 minutes of harassing each other back and forth, finally admitted that he was just out there for the sweet, sweet church money. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's a memory I'll always treasure.
Yeah.
Got him arrested and thrown off the property.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
See?
Good times.
Deserved bullying.
That's like next level.
You're like a Batman.
Proper bullying.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, Batman is a good, yeah. Yeah. Like a less anonymous, yeah.
So how did that all start? How did you get wrapped up originally with like these feminist extremists or whatever? Yeah, these maggot pong punks.
Just a bunch of my friends were into it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I like my reproductive rights just as much as everybody else. And living in Kansas, where you know old 70-year-old guys are making decisions that affects all of our sexual health. I'm like, okay, yeah, I can get behind that.
So then, I guess just like in terms of general social activism or whatever, that kind of, it's shitty that this is where the first place I go or whatever, but like, what's your education like? Like, did you go to school in Kansas? And because you're Wichita native, right?
I'm Clearwater.
Oakley. Okay, cool. Did you
so
go to, is there
town.
Clearwater High School
yeah,
that you went to?
Yeah, I went to Clearwater from preschool to high school. So.
Any post-secondary?
WSU.
Okay, cool. So then, is that when that all spawned probably while you were around
WSU? It was
WSU?
All high school stuff. I was a very angsty, goth little teenager,
Well,
I kind of decided I was going to be mad at everything.
Well, that's kind of a stereotype, right, that when you hit college, you hit different ideas and
sure. Right. Well, and it's funny though that she says like, "Oh, I was like an angsty goth," because that feels true. Like in high school, you can just be like pissed off at stuff, but like maybe like you're on the right side of the argument, but you still don't like really grasp the whole deal. Usually, I feel like I don't know. Like I wasn't really fully developed anywhere intellectually by the time I left high school or whatever, but. You get involved in all that stuff versus, like, maybe, I don't know, like, because that lines up more with, like, your punkier, you know, like, just trying to fuck with these people, you know, instead
posting
arguments on Facebook about, like, oh, yeah, like, come on, guys, write your congressman. No, we're going to go out and fuck with them.
I look at myself in middle school and high school unironically listening to System of a Down. Like it wasn't a, you know, like, yeah, fuck the war. Like, why? I don't know, because dead.
Why don't presidents fight?
Yeah.
That'd be a terrible idea. You're an idiot.
My situation was weird because all my friends were way older. So when I was a freshman,
sure.
They were all seniors, and they were all honor students that had skipped grades. And I felt intellectually, like, very inferior to them. But they were very political and would have hours and hours and hours of debate. And I'm just over here like, I'm 14.
Yeah.
I can't vote, nor do I care. But
right.
You guys are all smart, so I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to form my own opinion, but I'm not going to watch the news. I'm just going to listen to you guys.
Right.
And we had a zine where we were all angry and anti-establishmentarianism.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it all started.
That's awesome.
And then they all graduated, and I'm like, hey, I'm 15, and I'm the only goth kid in in Clearwater.
You were left to carry the torch.
Hooray. And all of the beatings.
Oh, no. So if you look to them and developed a certain sense of direction from kids older than you were, I mean, what was family life like? Was there a certain lack of direction or lack of structure where you felt at home with this sort of political direction? Or?
Not really. My grandparents raised me. They weren't very political unless it came to beer.
Okay. Okay.
Or, like, agreeing on what we're going to drink tonight.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, so I kind of grew up. I mean, it was a fun childhood. I had learned to pickpocket and shark people at pool, but for the most part, and my grandpa, I definitely love him, but I spent a lot of time in the bars, so honestly, I think where my friends might have left off and their political, like, very, very left in Clearwater, Kansas bars, where I spent the rest of my time, it was very right. So you get to see old men arguing politics, but a lot of time in the bars.
So you get a very wide spectrum. And even now, I mean, I don't know how often, I haven't seen you at Snug in a while, but Snug is a pretty, you know, it's mixed, but it's a pretty conservative place overall, I'd say. So do you feel at home, like, with a little bit of conflict? Not in a violent sense, but, like, you know, some tension.
I do feel at home at Snug Harbor because it's mostly old people. So I go in there and it's like growing up in the VFW post. It's, hey, I'm the youngest person here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely. And I feel like I can go there. I didn't always have younger people to hang out with when I was a kid. But also I can go there and just fade to the back and they can do their thing and I can feel social without actually talking to them.
Yeah.
I kind of, yeah. And
they're usually so drunk I can walk away from the political arguments.
Yeah.
They won't notice.
So what do you, so your next project is Budget Burlesque. That's the biggest thing. Are you working on anything else? Obviously you're a graphic designer by day. Is that right?
I actually work at Protection One again. Okay. I left for 8 months to go do graphics design at Rusty Eck, and I never want to set foot in a car dealership again. So I answer phone calls and teach people how to download apps and then log in, which can be apparently very, very hard for some people.
Well, there's a lot of famous quotes, like, if you don't, I don't know if there's a direction you want to go, but, like, I think Mitch Hedberg said, if you have a job you like, you'll never make it in comedy.
Yeah.
So, like, and I think there's been a lot of people across different industries who say something like that, like, you've got to have something shitty to keep you going at night, right? You feel like that at all?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. I mean, there's a lot of fodder that I glean from my work environment that later turns into a little bit of comedy. And I think, as far as where I'm going to go next or what I'm going to do next, because I've always got to have some kind of medium-sized to large project. It will be more stand-up. I want to get into more videography stuff. And at the end of the month, one of the first films I worked on, which is actually a heavy metal music video, will appear at Lucky's for our premiere. So that'll be something I've actually shot and worked on, aside from the 24-hour film race stuff. So working on some ideas for shorts. I didn't do it this year. I couldn't find a team. But the year before, we did Dress Crossing was the name of it. Which was basically a very short story of a drag queen finding his roots and learning to be fabulous.
Who's all on that team?
BJ Love, Nick Probst, Eric Harrison, a guy named Max. I can't remember who all actually did that.
That's awesome.
That sucks.
I immediately just think of Animal Crossing. Like the GameCube game, I think.
Not
GameCube?
Okay. No, not related.
Well, I know you said, what was it? You said dress crossing, so I just thought of cross-dressing animals. That's all I just thought, like, furry.
That
would have
been a more interesting film. Somehow we got cast as a student film.
Huh.
So we won, I think, best student film.
Awesome. That's really cool. So who's the heavy metal band that you did the music video for?
Exeter.
Exeter.
Yeah.
So, like,
like, forever exiting.
Forever.
Constantly.
And ever. Exiting back.
That's
what
I'm about, just exiting. Yeah, walk out one door, and then into an entrance labeled exit, and then just circle.
You're missing.
No, I'm not. This one's for me. You guys just sit this one out. I'm going to kind of... So how long did the music video take?
I think it took, all in all, like, 2 months to shoot. They are from, like I said, Kansas City, so they came down here 3 times. I like working on films because it always, without fails, turns into something where I'm wearing a bunch of hats. Like, this time I had to airbrush, like, 5 people almost head to toe. And I hadn't used my airbrush in, like, 15 years. So I had 4 airbrushes and 2 compressors. The first shoot, I took the stuff there. None of the airbrushes would work. So before the last one, where I actually did spray everybody down, I had to spend, like, 3 hours rebuilding airbrushes and learning how they worked again to make it happen. So I airbrushed a bunch of people, got to play with a bunch of fake blood. It was interesting because there were a lot of my fire performer friends involved. So there was fire.
Cool.
There were pig parts stapled to a tree. The smell was overwhelming.
I feel like maybe you have an answer ready for this one on lock. What's your favorite horror movie?
That one is actually hard.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you have a lot. You're
I
do. Horror.
I don't really. I've seen a lot of horror movies, but as far as, like, I think the latest one that I've seen, and it's actually an older one. I think it's German or Scandinavian. Like Let the Right One In.
Okay.
It's a vampire movie.
The original one or the remake?
The original.
Okay. I guess you said the older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The original one. That one actually. I like horror movies that, from a psychological standpoint, actually impact you. It's not so much of the cruddy fake gore.
Yeah, I feel like with the, I either go one way or the other. Like, I don't like tension and then something jumps out. I like either psychological thriller or, like, Evil Dead, just cheesy.
Yeah.
It's either one or the other.
Exactly.
I don't like the middle ground, like, I like Last House on the Left, but that kind of genre of, like, PG-13, let's scare the kids, kind of, that's not bad.
You know, about the only thing that actually creeps me out is, like, empty eye sockets or teeth falling out.
Yeah.
So, unless you want to make a horror movie all about empty eye sockets and teeth falling out,
yeah.
I'm not going to get really creeped out.
Yeah.
Why is it teeth falling out? Because, like, who here has had, a dream? And, like, you get really upset when your teeth are falling
constantly.
Out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not constantly, but a lot.
You know, this is, like, an incredibly common dream. Why do people...
Supposedly
why is it
you're
such
worrying
a...
about money.
Yeah. There's, like, dream interpretations.
Or what the hoodoo Wiccan says.
Seems,
you're worrying about money.
Seems like it's got to go deeper than that. Because I feel like everybody... Have you never had that dream?
No. If I think about, like a health issue, it's usually, like... parasitic or like a mental health thing. I've never thought about. I'm afraid of like viruses and shit. I'm not like I've never thought about teeth. I don't know.
No, there's like.
I guess I'm just used to having ugly teeth. So, I'm
not so then you're like excited.
Like
about, you're like,
yeah,
don't
hope these.
About these.
I hope these crawl away.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucked up. No, there's like dream. Yeah, if you like Google. Dream, my teeth are falling out. It's like about money, or it's about like I think it's also about appearance or something. And I don't know, but it could be anything. It could just be an effed up dream.
This is a good transition to my other favorite question. What are you afraid of?
I hate tornadoes.
Okay.
I mean, growing up in Kansas, it's pretty much a terrible thing to be afraid of. But
yeah.
Like going back to reoccurring dreams, throughout my childhood, I have this dream where there'd be multiple tornadoes. And I could somehow direct them, like, okay, we're going to go bypass our house. Those neighbors over there, they were bastards. Let's go ahead.
Dang.
Let's get them. But there were several times in my childhood where my grandpa, stubborn Arkansas hillbilly that he was like, well, I'm not hiding. If it's my time, it's my time.
That's...
So I would drag, like, the mattress off the bed and be...
Wow.
In the closet or in the bathtub with the mattress on top of me. And I grew up in, like, a... really cruddy old double wide trailer, like probably the first double wides that were ever produced.
Huh.
So it was already falling apart and probably 30 years old by the time I remember it.
And those things are tornado magnets.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're always.
That's what the jokes are always about in
tornadoes.
Yeah. Wow.
So there were a lot of them that came through, like the big Hayesville ones that took out a lot of Hayesville. They all originated like half a mile away from where I grew up. So,
so do you hate the movie Twister?
I sat through it, and yes, I do.
You do.
I've got a bunch of storm chaser friends, and they're always like, "Come out! You're a photographer. Go with us." And I really don't.
Jake, Jake, my old roommate. Yeah, he liked to drive out and shit. Yeah,
I don't.
He would ask me if I wanted to go. Yeah, I was like, "What's the reward? Where is the? You know,
like dying.
Yeah,
I think is the reward.
I have enough of that. I already have enough pursuits and hobbies where I stand up and I feel panic and that kind of thing. And I don't know.
Don't need any more panic.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I feel like I can get the thrill out of, you know, you watch videos of mudslides or crazy, and just watching that, you know, I don't get a sense of panic, but I get like, wow, awe. So I don't feel like I need to be there.
Once you see a piece of wheat, like a wheat shaft, shoved all the way through a big old tree and stick out the other end, you're like, no, I don't really need to chase tornadoes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they talk about styrofoam, like telephone poles and stuff. Pieces of styrofoam. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I spent summers cleaning up neighbors' houses that got totally leveled. I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't like tornadoes. In good health.
What about hurricanes?
I've never been through one. I imagine it would suck and there'd be lots of water and flooding, but I still think just a tornado, because you don't have, like, days of warning to board up your house. It's just, I mean, and sometimes you have tornado sirens and sometimes you don't. Like, I remember sitting on the phone looking out my front door, not registering what I'm looking at, talking to my best friend, and all of a sudden I registered in my brain, oh, hey, that's a tornado, like, a quarter of a mile away from the house. Maybe we should run.
Yeah.
So we all pile into the 82 Lincoln Continental, and it's getting pulled off of the road by just the force of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. No. No.
Yes.
Pass.
Yeah.
No. And you're still here in Kansas.
Oh, yeah. I have a basement.
See, that's...
I would go hide in it with a bottle of vodka and candles.
That's what I was... When you were like, I'm afraid of tornadoes. I was like, you're from Kansas. How? Mm-hmm. And then I realized that's the... since birth, it's been, you know, just very very calm, you know, like, parents are watching the weather, I'm not paying attention, and then just like, hey, Blake, time to go to the basement. What? Weather stuff, we're just going to the basement. You know, I mean, like, when I was like 3 and 4, they weren't like, yeah, it's a tornado, you're gonna die, probably. You know, but, just, man, that, like, you got me nervous when you were talking about, like,
yeah.
I just put a mattress over me and hide in the bathtub, and I'm over here like,
flashback.
Why
I kind of asked about the hurricane, like, because like, yeah, it's a different, like, now we're getting earthquakes a lot, but it's still a novelty. Like, we don't take it seriously yet.
They're not
to the scale of leveling a building
right
at this point.
Well,
it's like,
but
okay,
you don't.
Yeah.
But if you just felt the shake, it's not like they immediately hit and start leveling. So you feel it. And I don't think anybody really gets scared yet. I've felt 2 of them out of like 100 that we get every year. Right? Yeah, I've never felt concerned. Whereas maybe someone who is from a more earthquake torn region might like feel that and feel the warm up and like, all right, well maybe we should like no, it's cool. These are kind of fun.
Maybe we shouldn't stand under the chandelier.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost like people coming through Kansas that are like excited to see, like, I want to see a tornado. It's like, no,
that's
what
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like,
yeah.
No, you don't do that. Don't bring that to us. Yeah.
And it's not like it's every 20 seconds, like, boom, there's another one.
Yeah.
Boom, there's another one.
Yeah. Where's all the yellow bricks?
They're flying through the air at your head.
So with burlesque, I've talked to some girls who used to do burlesque where they'll message me about starting comedy and that kind of thing. And it seems like comedy is a main theme in burlesque. And I always imagine it as like a vaudeville sort of just general entertainment. Like anything that we will, just burlesque will do anything. Music, dancing, stripping, comedy, whatever. So I imagine there's a spectrum, right? Do you kind of lean toward? You seem to be falling towards stand-up right now. You're kind of flirting with it. You haven't consistently gotten in the pool yet. But is that where you lean toward?
Well, I've been paid for it.
Yeah, yeah.
I got paid for doing stand-up comedy before, as far as like how long I've been doing it before a paycheck.
Yeah.
I got paid faster doing stand-up than I did burlesque. Honestly, I didn't want to do burlesque every time we had a show. That was never my intent. I wanted to MC.
Okay.
Because that gives you the chance to do the announcements, do the comedy, basically like set up for the next act, kill time for the next act if they needed to change clothes, but totally would rather MC than actually dance most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like you probably get more, I don't know, recognition for, you know, intellect, like a certain verbal, you get to communicate rather than like...
They know your personality.
Yeah, there's a huge stigma with dancing, with, you know, erotic dancing, like you might be, a stripper is dumb. Or whatever, or, you know, they just watch you, or, yeah, those old people in the front just judging you. Well, if you get to MC, you get to communicate you and your, and I organize this, and this is my baby, and this, you know, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I think you get to take a little bit more of a driver's approach and actually do the steering of the show, so. I haven't gotten enough chances to actually do that, but, yeah, doing more stand-up, I do plan on. This month is going to be crazy hectic. I've got a group coming in from Nebraska. I've got a show coming up in the middle of November. I've got all kinds of stuff. And then the Budget Burlesque show. So I think after about November 15th, I'll probably start doing more open mic nights. And I don't know when all the open mic nights are. So there have been several times I'm like, man, what's going on this week? I'd like to do stand-up.
WichitaComedy.com.
We'll get you added to the comic group
really
or something.
Really list
yeah.
everything.
Yeah,
usually.
Wichita Comedy. Well, there's just so many that are last minute. Or
yeah.
You know,
well,
and it's just hard. There's one person doing it, and she usually posts a photo. And it's like, you know, it's not like she's... It's not a blog. It's not, you know, type it up and post. It's... So she's not really.
No.
Yeah, we'll have to do the Wichita Comics.
Yeah,
that usually keeps
hold
it
on to it. And then there's like, just like three or four that are regular that you
yeah.
should just.
But I feel like you I think I've said that several times. I feel like you are exactly what I'm gonna say you are. Is that yes? Say yes. No. I don't like it. Just from everything you do, there's a certain amount of fear with. Being out of control, whether we're teeth falling out or the tornado or yada yada, just a certain amount of, like, you don't want to go too far into the chaos, but there's comfort in it. Like, is what, I guess I already touched on that. It sounded like your grandparents, they're crazy, not in a bad way, in better crazy than I would have maybe been exposed to.
It was a unique upbringing, definitely. My grandma's still alive, and she is definitely an important part of my life.
Does she live in town?
She lives out in Clearwater still.
Okay.
But it was a unique childhood, not growing up with any parents. And, you know, they were loving people, but they were busy.
Yeah.
They were busy all the time, so.
Yeah.
But I do like the controlled chaos. I work better under stressful situations, I think. So I do kind of overload myself, and I do it a little bit on purpose.
Chaos on your terms.
I do like that.
Yeah,
on my own terms, definitely.
Absolutely, great. Have you ever thought about skydiving? I want to get a group together. I don't know. I want to do. I said I was going to do it last year. I just saw two people shake their heads in a room full of.
I just don't know where this is going.
People. Yeah, Blake is saying yes.
Yeah.
What do you mean you don't know where this is going? Have you ever thought about skydiving? I want to talk about knitting for a moment. What do you? We were going to talk about skydiving.
Oh, okay.
I was supposed to on my 30th birthday, and my aunt chickened out, and yeah, it's not happened yet.
I talked to Eli about it at one point, and he said, with my luck, I would be one of the ones who comes out with a fucked up hip, and I'm limping for the rest of my life. Like, you know. But it's like, and there's like two people every year who die in the United States from it. But yeah,
this is two.
Right. Yeah, dude.
Out of like half a million.
Out of like 10.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like 500,000 jumps a year.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Well, people die taking baths too, right? I mean,
I don't take any fucking baths.
I love baths. I don't know.
God, I do too. I don't have a bath though in my house. It's it's in my roommate's bathroom. So. And yeah, well, I share the. It's Steven, and so he's always leaving a mildewy towel in there, which I can't complain about him because I've got my bathroom.
Right.
You know, I've got my whole bathroom and shower.
Stand up shower.
Yeah. So if I want a bath,
just sit down in it.
Yeah, no, that's a sad thing. That's not like a bag. It's relaxing. Yeah, if you're just like crouching,
over just like down in the shower,
head on my knees, just like oh yes.
I think that's a really good, I don't know, like meditative experience. Like just letting it like drip on your face and like try to keep your eyes open without getting on.
Try not to feel shame.
I
think it's
naturally
just shame.
I've cried in the shower before. But I've also just sat there and like, this is nice. This is, and wait for it to get cold and then see if you can. Maybe it is sad. Maybe I'm deeply sad. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think you're deeply
maybe.
Concerned.
I also like to, sitting down. When you said sitting, never mind. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Never mind.
What do you like to sit on?
I like to sit down when I pee. That's like the just waking up in the morning. No, it's so good. Like just to go in the bathroom and just chill out.
Oh.
And just like,
how much are you peeing that it like that it's not?
That I need to sit down.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, not any longer than the average person. But
like I would just pee and then sit down. Like do your peeing and then sit separate. Don't worry about doing the two at the same time.
See, I just long to stand up. Well,
oh,
yeah.
Thank
I mean,
you.
I can do it.
I was
it's a
hoping.
Messy ordeal. I'd rather do it outside.
I was hoping you would be like, well, that's interesting because I like to stand up, or I hope to one day. Yeah. So thank you for giving
me. I need
it.
One of the shiwi so I can just like write my name in the snow. Just a funnel. Just
it
a
seems,
pink funnel.
It seems way tougher for a female. Not, I mean, like, you gotta take your pants way off. Like,
just completely off. Or you're just
way
like,
off.
It's all over.
Well, and that's another thing. There's several guys in here, and I want to ask you. When you stand at a urinal, through the front.
She doesn't stand at a urinal.
Right, but she's not the guy I'm speaking
to.
Okay. So, so briefly, I'll touch on it, and we'll get back to
the
question.
I'm glad I'm not the guy
who's
speaking.
But, so, through the front. Opening or pull it down, like what, curb your enthusiasm?
Like open my pants or open my fly?
Yeah, like pull it all the way down.
I don't know, dude. Context matters.
If I were a dude, I think I would just pull it out the fly as opposed to exposing my butt.
No, man.
Well, you don't have to expose your butt. You can just, you know, sometimes I undo the belt and the button and I just let, you know, the front flop out.
Thumb in.
Well, then you, you know, just let it breathe for a sec.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Especially outdoors.
Well, and it's dangerous to just do the pull through the fly. You usually learn after one, but...
Well, but there's a certain amount of drippage and then also snaggage.
Right, that's... If you zip...
How often does that happen? Like,
everyone's done it like once.
Okay.
I think that's... Yeah. I think you learn very well the first time to never do it again.
I think the setting on the balls would be way more common.
I've only sat on my balls
you can't,
like once.
I don't think I could sit on my balls.
Yeah.
I don't think I could physically do anything really with my legs.
It's
going
to be a pretty hot day to sit on my balls. But I've done it once. They've got to be like, I've got to be wearing shorts. I've got to be wearing sweatpants. Whatever. I thought about that too much. But yeah, well, it's usually like a rollover situation. My older brother has like straight up, I remember when we were in high school, he just straight up sat down in the cafeteria and just got a look on his face of just pain and being very upset. And then was very honest, like, sorry, I sat on my balls. And then we were like, oh, that poor guy, move on. But, like, I've never just sat down, straight down. It's like, kind of like shifting up on one.
Oh, yeah,
then,
sure.
Right, and then it would... And that's usually a pinch thing, but once, it was straight up, like, vacuum sucked under.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's usually more unpleasant. Is like if I'm sitting with my legs together and then I move one leg and it slides to, and then it's not about like squanching them. It's just like I pull it, you know, which is worse.
See, all these things I wonder about having a sack and I'll never know.
I never
they
knew.
Should, they should have you on You Breast Believe.
Yeah, I never knew women wondered so much about balls and stuff. But like on the episode, what do guys do with their wieners while they poop, while with their dick and balls while they poop? Like, do they hold it up and everything? I was like, no, you just, it's, there's like three inches separation there.
That's what I always used to have watching baseball. Like, how does the guy not hit the catcher? Like, there's quite a bit of
precisely.
think I've lost the guest. Tiffany is completely no. She's like, this is fucked. Why did I agree to this?
I was just thinking about even when you guys have diarrhea, you don't.
Oh, there's been splatters.
Yeah, if you get backsplash, but you know.
Well, I find
they don't hang down in the way. They're not in the traffic zone.
I guess I'm just imagining in all of these scenarios the saggiest balls ever.
Well, but then they'd also have to come back in, even if they hang straight down.
You'd
then,
have to be swinging them.
Then you just risk toilet. Yeah,
like I don't
it's
know
like
if you ever had
back and forth
exactly to get the tension going. You ever have a particularly constipated? But we should really move on.
Yes, we should.
Yeah.
We should. Yes.
This is a nice painting that looks like diarrhea splatter. Thank you, thank you, Trent, for letting us.
Kenton.
Kenton. God damn it!
Wow, that was great.
Trent's a nice guy too. I don't know any Trents, apparently.
Put down the shovel.
I thought I knew one. Yeah, put down the shovel.
So if people want to go find the burlesque shows, where can we find those at?
I took down the website. So honestly, Facebook, Witch.Burlesque, searching Witch.Burlesque. And I try to post everything burlesque that I hear about in Wichita, regardless if it's me putting it on or whomever. So anything I see that's kind of along the line, I'll go ahead and promote.
Awesome.
Do you think there's more going on? Significantly more? I mean, than there was, when, say, you started.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There wasn't a scene at all when I started.
Right.
It was Dillinger bringing somebody in, maybe once a year.
Okay, so
shows,
that rarely.
Yeah, I do shows, about every 3 or 4 months.
Do you have any, alums? Are there people who came into this whole thing and, learned everything they know from you and are now off proliferating burlesquitude?
And not outside of Wichita, no.
In Wichita, though? I mean,
there are some girls that started out doing burlesque because, I said, there was no burlesque here before.
Right.
And now they do American Rose Theater is the name of their troupe. But they were trained dancers, at least ballet or jazz dancers, I'm a redneck farm girl who wanted to do ballet, but my family was too poor. So now this is what I didn't get in childhood. This is my reason to wear the fancy costumes and dresses, because otherwise I was on a four-wheeler or, fishing.
Running away from the tornado.
Yeah, fishing frogs out of the slough or the creek or the dip net.
Where do you go from burlesque? It seems like a lot of pursuits.
To hell.
There's a to hell. Whatever. If you get into improv, there are you can get onto SNL or whatever. If you know what is the top line? Seems like wrestling, college wrestling. They get out of it, and before MMA, there wasn't much. We can go do that. The WWE, but it doesn't appeal to most college wrestlers. So, but now there's MMA. That gives them an outlet, or instructing, coaching themselves. But where does burlesque go somewhere?
There's a festival scene. I went to one festival my first year.
Birthday parties.
Had a terrible experience. I've not tried to do the festival stuff, but there are trophies to be won and titles.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's that. But as far as, what happens after that, I've not really seen it. Because even my friends or people that I've known or worked with that don't do burlesque anymore, they're still in some way, in the scene. I've not seen a case where somebody just dropped out. I've seen a lot of girls, start their own schools, but that's in places like New York or St. Louis, bigger cities.
Is there a TV show? Is there? That seems to be the top of every game, right? Is to get on TV.
Well, one of my friends, actually, who came through here a couple of years ago, Hazel Honeysuckle, she's based out of New York. She was on Orange is the New Black, but she's still an active, very active.
I guess so, entertainment in general.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there was a very sexy shower scene, and she's a beautiful, beautiful woman, so I can't say that I didn't rewind a couple times.
Great. So
if it's in Orange is the New Black, I've probably masturbated to it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, second season, I think, fourth episode.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
You just zeroed in. Oh, I thought you were. I thought you really were about to get oh my god, 18th minute.
Oh, I remember.
Oh, I'm note in it, though.
is there anything else you want to plug before we wrap up here? Any other shows you want to...
No, I think the Budget Burlesque series, which should be like an every other month thing, starting... Okay. Is it November 12th?
Yes.
November 12th. Yes, it's November 12th. It's my own show, and I forget what day. So $5, Barleycorns, and it should be at Barleycorns, like I said, every other month. Check us out on Bushwhack Burlesque on Facebook.
Perfect. So, typically when we end an episode, we wrap up with the guest's point of view. We're still doing that.
Correct. Yeah, okay. Mantra.
So, a general mission statement, mantra, whatever, something that can encompass you into eternity as long as the servers stay up online. Go for it.
And you put me on the one time I'm on the spot.
Yeah.
Like a quote, like in a couple sentences, not, you know, you have to say like a 10-minute thing, but just like what wraps you up. Right now, like in your life, like right now.
All right, I'm going to cheat.
Do it.
Just a second.
Are there, is there any, and this isn't necessarily your answer, but there, is there any other, like, bad day you have, and you, like, watch a video or listen to someone talk?
Oh, my mantra, if it's a bad day, is, it could be worse, at least I could, it could be worse, at least I'm not on fire. But just a second.
One day, you'll be on fire.
I know, and then I'll be like, damn it, I wish I never saw that. I'm on fire.
It could be worse, it could be raining, except I wish it was, because I'm on fire.
No, it's the perfect quote for me, and now I can't remember it. What is it?
You said it's a shower scene?
Yeah.
It's not on episode 4.
Is it not?
I'm scanning episode 5.
Oh, God.
So you got the Wi-Fi password. Or you just...
No, it's on my computer. He wants it so he can, you know,
it doesn't
get on Grindr.
Okay.
Now I've got it. All my life I always wanted to be somebody. Now I see that I should have been more specific.
There we go.
Oh, that's great.
I like that.
I like it.
Love it.
Well, thank you so much for spending an hour with us. Sorry about all the balls.
Tim.
Yeah, now I know how balls work.
Balls and...
It was worth it.
They don't. That's how.
I apologize for being late. Thank you so much for coming.
Sorry,
it took a while. You got sick last time.
I did.
But it was well worth the wait. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you, Tiffany. There you are. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you again, Tiffany Payton, for meeting up with us. Thank you, Domestic Drone, of course, for Big Black Gun, our favorite intro music. Thank you, Kent and Hansen, for letting us use the Labor Party. Always a primo spot. Check it out yourself if you need some office space, somewhere to, you know, get some work done during the week. It's a pretty good deal. Check us out again in a couple days. We've got an interview with Brother Tiger coming up. He's kind of a synth pop artist that came through Barleycorns a few weeks ago, and we sort of drunkenly talked to him in the green room at Barleycorns for 30 minutes, so that's probably just like a little bonus episode for this week. But check him out, like, he's on YouTube and stuff. Anyway, thanks Tiffany, thanks Domestic Drone, thanks Kenton, and thank you all for listening. We will see you someday.